Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Hope everybody listening out there is doing fantastic this evening. What is this, January 19th of 2022? Got things lined up this evening. As I get myself together here for tonight's broadcast, I'm going to pass it around. My most esteemed panel, as I always do, I'm actually going to reach in here, have a beer. You know, it's funny. Every week, I always talk about having a malt beverage and a cigar. So far, in 2022, I've drank 3 beers. That's it. This is about to be my 4th. Don't ask me what's going on. Something's changing.
It's all dropping.
This is something I'm doing. But yeah,
you can't see it, but my jaw's dropping.
On purpose. Hardly. But it's just the way it turns out. I don't know. Just have not been feeling it. Nevertheless, I'm going to try to feel this one, see what happens. If not, the streak continues.
You should have
so,
a Corona.
Yeah, that would definitely stop my drinking as Corona. My God.
That velvet?
Yay.
That is awful. So let's
now
go ahead and introduce. Now we're set to go. So I'll dive right on down to the fantastic town of Ravenel, South Carolina, and introduce our good brother and Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame inductee, the Amazing Velvet. Let's shake it.
Well, I got over that crap. Took me a hot minute, but I got over the whatever I had, whatever variant I had. I don't know what it was. Because they can't differentiate between that and the flu anyway, so. So, I'm better. I'm good to go. You know? Ready for some fun. I don't know if y'all are, but I am.
The way my day has
I'm
been going,
up.
I can use it. Yeah, anything north
fired
of fun. Anything better at this point. So it's good to have you aboard. Sounds like you're in good spirits, and that does me some good. Does my heart good to hear you doing well. Now I'm going to shove it to the west, out there to the fine state of Arkansas, and introduce our favorite Granny Hulkster, the one and only.
Our favorite heel.
Granny Hulkster. How are you
favorite
doing
heel.
This evening?
No heel, Velvet. Don't even go there, and I'm glad to be on the show tonight. And before I get started, I would like to give a very special shout-out to my wonderful son, Anthony Watkins. He is going to be celebrating his birthday on the 23rd of this month on Sunday. He will be 35. So happy birthday, Anthony.
Outstanding. Yeah, happy birthday, Anthony. Congratulations,
happy
buddy.
Happy birthday.
No doubt, man. 35. You know, it's funny when you see your youngins reaching certain stages and everything, and I got to watch myself around my folks, you know, because I'll go over there and check on them, and I'll get off, you know, I'll be sitting there and talk to them. I'll go to get up couch or something, and I'll do my usual, oh, Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, I am probably not doing my folks any good by listening to me struggle to get out of a chair.
<You
know>? I'm sure I walk away sometimes and they're like, you know, if he's that broken, God, Jesus, where are we at, you know?
And I'm very happy my Chiefs won Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now we take on
Lord.
Buffalo Sunday. So I think that's going to be a pretty good game.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting one, to say the least. I have my conspiracy theories, but nevertheless,
my conspiracy theory is Vegas.
Yeah. There's some shenanigans going about. I'm sure we'll come to it to tonight's show without a doubt. There's definitely some shenanigans afoot. And if you're a South Park fan, you'll know I'm going to declare shenanigans. You can take it from there. But, Granny, definitely good to have you aboard this evening, ma'am. And Anthony, big happy birthday, dude. Party hard. All right. Good to have another birthday under the belt. So I'm going to shoot back across the time zone, or at least ways. It's not an international dateline, but it's got to be some type of barrier to the Mideast. Yeah, because I think you guys are still on the same time zone in Indianapolis, but then Arkansas is like a whole different one when there's only like 20 feet between the two, latitude, longitude-wise. Nevertheless.
We're on central time zone here in Arkansas. Like
well,
right now, it's 8:05 in the evening here in good old Springdale, Arkansas. So,
yeah. See, now Indianapolis, I believe, is still East Coast standard. So we will go ahead and poll, ask our good brother Tim, who is out there right now, to give us the absolute answer to that question. Are you East Coast time?
We are Eastern Daylight Savings Time. So right now it is, as I adjust because of my 43-year-old eyes, it is 9:06. So, yep, that is correct. Ding, 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 ding. And,
right.
Good. Yeah. So, no, everything's wonderful in my neck of the woods. And Velvet, I'm glad that you got over. I'm going to go ahead and debit the Lambda, Lambda, Lambda variant. So glad that you're feeling much better.
Hey.
So,
I have my javelin.
I don't have much of a weather report. We had like one, I think, earlier today. It got up into the 40s, and then it crashed right back down. So it's freezing wicked. Wicked cold outside. Wind was blowing like crazy again. That's my meteorology report. Other than that, the siding. Awesome update on the house, man. They're getting siding put, new siding on the house. So it's kind of scary because they took the old off, and you wouldn't believe the crap they found underneath. We actually had a window that they just decided to put siding over. Obviously, from the inside, it was drywalled over, and there wasn't an actual window there, but you could see the space cut out for it. So when they put the siding on, they just slapped the siding right on. So I'd kind of like to find the people that made that decision and steal their crack pipe and beat it over their head with them. But other than that, we're looking forward to a good show tonight.
Outstanding. Good to have you aboard this evening. Man, I can lament because I was telling Dale the other night, you know, it's kind of funny. We get this house paid off 3 years ago. I paid it off when I was 48. And
congrats.
Yeah. Well, much like a car, the minute the warranty runs out, everything goes to hell on it. This house has just steadily been one thing after another. And, you know, I'm probably that 75 percentile Bob Vila guy where I can, you know, do the general stuff. But when it comes down to plumbing and electric, I'm the last guy you want touching it. Nevertheless, as I pull this house apart and repair stuff, I look at it and I'm like, Jesus, man, if I could just get in the time machine and go back to that 28-year-old Dave and say, dude, here's a marble. Hold this. And whatever damn house you go into, set the marble on the floor. And if it rolls the hell away, don't buy the house. If it has water running behind it, don't buy the house. I mean, there are so many things about this house now that, as a matter of fact, if you walk into my house and you look at the mantle over top of my fireplace, you're going, God, Jesus Christ, who in the hell hung that mantle? That thing's crooked as hell. You set a level on it, it's the only level thing in the whole damn house. The fireplace is actually crooked. And the mantle is level.
You mean
put that marble in the front living room, the marble just sails right away from you. It's almost like you're using the force. And, I have found everything from patchwork subflooring to, or like our bathroom, our main bathroom. The medicine cabinet was lacking, when we bought the house. It just was dated and was nasty looking. So I said, hey, we're going to put a new one up. When I removed the damn thing from the wall, there was a hole about the size of a turkey platter in the sheetrock.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
wow.
Beyond patching. So I couldn't hang anything else there. So I took the door with the mirror in it off. I unscrewed it because it was like almost like a little keepsake box is what it looked like, so to speak. But it was a medicine cabinet. And I unscrewed the hinges from it, and I just took the door, and I hung it over that hole. And it's still like that right now as we speak. Just the stuff that you find in these houses is just absolutely befuddling. I told Dale, I says, you know, if I ever come into some money, I'm going to buy us a brand new house, and I'm going to have it built. And I'm also going to buy a tent. And she says, what do you need a tent for? I said, because I'm going to camp, and I'm going to watch every goddamn screw that's turned in that house. So that way I know what kind of half-assed stuff is being done in that house before I even walk into it. But nevertheless, good to have everybody aboard this evening. Looking forward to a good night out here. I'm going to try to do it outdoors. It's cold, but it's not like nipples cutting through your shirt cold. So I think I'm going to try to do the outdoors thing tonight.
Before we get deep into it, I'm going to piggyback off of what you just said, because the funny thing is, I just wrapped up another project on the inside of the house. I got this taken care of over the weekend, and all in all, it's done. But it, again, goes to show just how pissed off you can be at the lack of, I don't know, attention to detail, whatever, laziness, you know, because I'm trying to, you know, I'm taking for granted that the walls here are straight, you know. So when I'm measuring out what I basically, I built shelves in the closet. We got way too many clothes. And you know, we had some really janky metal racks. We had so many clothes that it put too much weight on it, and they were mounted using those drywall brackets, you know, that they don't go into studs basically, but they have the anchors on them, you know. Well, it shot right to hell. This is a few months ago, and it basically just ripped it out of the wall. And I thought, yeah, that's something I don't want to deal with right now. So I got some wood, strips of wood, and I just propped it up, you know, just completely rigged it up, just, you know, white trash style. So I finally got around to it. I was like, I'm gonna build some sturdy-ass shelves in here and put, you know, the dowel rods for the clothes and everything. I had all laid out. And I go and I'm measuring, you know, well, you know, some things you just got to take for granted when you're measuring out the wood. It's like, okay, I'm measuring 40-some inches from here, so it's going to be the same from here. I go out, I cut the wood, I got a nice brand new $300 using gift cards and everything for Christmas. I got a miter saw. Thank you. A miter saw. And so I'm cutting my angles. I know they're perfectly at 90 degrees. You know, I can't mess that up. And I come in, and I'll be damned if that thing isn't as cockeyed as anything can be. And I start looking at it, and there is no way in hell that that's a 90-degree angle that I'm trying to throw this into. The walls are so badly warped and bent. It's like, I swear I live in a fun house. You know, it's like you walk into a carnival, whatever, just a fun house, weird mirrors.
I love it.
I think this used to be a fun house, and then they said, you know what, we could just slap some drywall and people can live here. That's what they did.
Yeah.
And I got a ceiling that's slanted too. So even though I made sure to make my shelves level, if you look at it, it looks like they go downward because the ceiling above it is slanted by going up. So it's an optical illusion, and I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. Level, but it kind of looks like shit because it makes you think that you did a poor job. So anyway, that's what I dealt with this past weekend. So, yeah, it's like anything you do.
Oh, nice.
I absolutely hate – I love my projects that I do, but I absolutely hate what I'm going to reveal on the house that somebody else before me has done a shitty job on.
Well, let me share something funny with you guys about my house. I mean, now when I bought my house back in 2001, I was a first-time home buyer. It was an older house. You know, it was small, two-bedroom, approximately 900 square feet, not a very big house, you know, built back in the 40s or 50s, something like that. But it looked pretty sturdy, you know, and everything. And I'm not even in the house a month, and I started having problems with my toilet backing up. Now, every room in this house, including the one bathroom, had carpeting in it. Now, I don't believe in putting carpeting in my bathroom, but, you know, it had carpeting.
So did
so
we.
I had
been there.
A plumbing company come out, you know, and they, you know, did their thing, and they said, if you have any more problems, let us know. Well, I had them put out a clean-out system in my back. So I come home one day for lunch, and I've got about 3 or 4 inches of water on my bathroom floor, and it looks like I have a moat in my backyard.
Oh,
I had a big puddle of, I mean, it was more than a puddle of water. It looked like a mini little pond in my backyard. So the city came out, and they got their little camera, and they got to looking, and all of a sudden the picture went black, and the guy says, uh-oh, and I said, I don't like that, uh-oh. So I had the plumbing company come out again, and they ended up digging up my sewer line up in the front yard. Well, the people that owned the house before I did had some contracting work of some sort, and the contractor had put a fiber optic phone cable right through my sewer line. And they never bothered to disclose that on, because it was an FHA loan, because I was a first-time home buyer. They never bothered to disclose that on the paperwork when this guy
that must mean you've got. That must mean you've got shitty internet.
Oh,
yeah, funny. I didn't even have internet then, Jim. But irregardless,
she had a shitty phone line.
Had to replace to get my sewer line fixed. Had to pay for that. Plus, he had to pay to have a new floor put in my bathroom. Now, when they tore up the carpeting, the floor had like a linoleum tile floor, but it was like how you were talking, Dave, about how you had the marble roll down, you know, at an angle. Well, my floor was all crooked in the bathroom. I mean, crappy. And had I known this about the fiber optic phone cable, I wouldn't have bought the house. I would have, you know, went and bought something else or whatever, you know. But so they had to pay to get that fixed, but, I mean, the contractor did. His insurance company had to pay to fix all those damages. But I wasn't even in my house for a month, so my son and I, we actually had to stay with a friend of ours for about a month while I was having all this work done to get these problems repaired.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's not hard to believe, though. I remember when I was working in our bathroom on the floor, Dale, I was in there just cussing a blue streak. And, of course, my lovely wife had to do what every other wife does when a husband's having a tough time, walks in and goes, well, what's the matter?
Yeah.
And I recall saying, you know what the problem is with this house? And, of course, I peppered in several of my sentence enhancers
flashy
that
words.
Start with the letter F. Yeah. I said, whoever the effing architect was for this house was the same MF-er who drew the pictures for all the Dr. Seuss books.
Color by number.
I was in a fit of rage, and I said it, and I tickled myself so much by what I said, I started laughing about it, and I says, you know, it's just damn ridiculous. This entire house, if the goddamn earth is flat, why is this house so damn crooked? So, yeah, we damn near do a whole show on this stuff because Christ knows I have got, I mean, a litany of stories. Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm tickled to death that I'm a 51-year-old guy and I could say I own my house because the good news is I can get struck by a lightning standing out here tonight, and I know my son will have a place to live for the rest of his life. All he's got to do is pay taxes on
it. That's right.
You know, so there are plus sides of it, but I'm here to tell you, if I could go back and just talk to the home buying me back in 1999 and say, dude, okay, you know. And as for these home inspectors, they can kiss my busted, tired, homeowning white ass because, yeah.
Yeah,
they charge you a couple $100.
They're not out to help. First of all, they're not out to help you. So you got to understand that they are not there to help you. Because if they decide they're not going to tell you that something's wrong with their house, they will do that, or they will tell you, "Oh, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. Call me when you get that done." That's not, you know, that's what they can do to you.
I mean, it's crazy the stuff that we have found, just the shoddy craftsmanship and everything else. And, you know, every house settles, of course, over time. But, man, oh, man, oh, man, I tell you, it's and then when you're having any type of home improvements done, you know, like you have somebody come out, build an addition on your house or closing in a garage or, you know, hanging doors or whatever, man, you better go and, I mean, Google the piss out of the people, the company, because I've been down that road too. Get a guy, you know, comes in there, well, I've got, you know, all these different references, and I, you know, I see the names, and I recognize some of the names on there. I'm like, ah, well, hell, if this guy built for them, then he half-asses everything, and I call these people that I remember seeing on this list of references, and they're all going, yeah, I wouldn't hire that asshole. Did you hire him? I'm like, oh, God. So,
When you hire him, you see that guy, but he sends a guy that looks like Farmer, whatever. What's the guy on the longest? What's the one with the water boy? You get Farmer Brown.
Oh yeah.
We don't fix that old man.
Yeah, it's
that's who you got working on your house.
Yeah, it is absolutely amazing some of the stuff that you find. You know, but in the meantime, me, my brother-in-law, and my son could come out here and repair a deck in one afternoon, and elephants can damn play hopscotch on this thing right now. That's how solid it is, and we're just three jokers with a couple compact drills and a thing of deck boards. You know,
I was doing home destruction when I got married. When we would go in, we'd get a contract in the house. If you left $1 million in that house that did not belong to you anymore because you signed a contract saying, we're destroying this house, we're taking it down, we're leveling it. So we would go in, our bonus money was if you left appliances that were in great working order or good working order and we didn't have to fix them, we sold them on the weekend. That was our extra money. But I went in and took everything out of the house, which everything from light fixtures to your switches, your light switches, anything that we could make money off of, we took. That was ours. And we'd go in and strip a house down, and then, you know, we have a moron on cocaine taking houses down with a front end loader like an idiot. But anyway, that's another story. And then
I've heard you can do that in restaurants too, man. There's some fat cash if you can get into a restaurant. If they're just shutting down and they're not doing anything, and you can get your ass in there.
Hell yeah.
Yep. But and then going to your point, working on a deck and finishing a day, it was three of us. We were doing, when times were slow, we were doing roofing. We'd do a roof in a day. They were like, how do you do it? We start at 5 a.m. and we'd be done by about 6. we get it done, man. You know, let's go. We ain't got time to sit around. You know, it's going to take a long time. You know, but shoot, once you learn how to do that, it's go. It's rip and go, baby.
But yeah,
but you got to do quality work, and you can't. Yeah, you got to check. Like you said, you got to check all these people out, man. There's a lot of bums out there that want to make a quick buck. I'm thinking you're a sucker. Yeah, biggest thing is if they have one really, really bad review, I question everything. Because they could have a 4-star online, which doesn't mean absolutely nothing, because they can take off all the bad comments. You know, but if there's a really, really bad review, I check everything at that point.
And the bad news is with a lot of these contractors, I mean, it makes sense, you know, when they come in and they say, okay, it's going to cost $10,000 to do what you want to do, but we need $4,000 or $5,000 for materials.
Up front.
So
okay, yeah.
You, as John Q customer, you get that because their job is to build it, not to buy it for you. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Again, it would be the same smell, different stink if you were going to do it yourself. You still would have to go out and buy the materials and then do it. So, arguably, when you hire somebody, a contractor, you are paying the labor is what you're supposed to be doing. And they, of course, as part of the job, volunteer to go get the materials for said job. All that being said,
right.
You know, and it's factored into the estimate, and that's all understood and everything. The problem is that there's so many contractors out there that will give you an estimate for $10,000. You hand them $5,000, and then they never show back up. Or worse is when they show up with the materials and get to work, and then they don't ever show back up. You're almost better off with them just never showing back up than what they are getting started and not showing back
up.
That's why
it pays to go to a bigger company. You know, you have to bite the bullet. You have to go to a company that's known around town, or they have multiple places that they set up shop, and they're credible. Yeah, there's too many rip-off artists out there. It's not even funny. I watched a video 2 days ago where this guy, they were fixing something on this guy on the roof. It wasn't a house, but it was like a, I don't know if it was a warehouse or whatever. Well, a guy that was renting the warehouse was throwing rocks at the guys trying to fix whatever they're fixing on the roof. And he's like, hey, call the landlord. We're here to fix this stuff up here. And he's yelling them, get off the roof. He calls the cops, right? I'm like, you're an idiot. The owner shows up, and he goes, look here. He goes, look here, dude. He goes, I'm not going back up there unless y'all do something with this cat. He threw rocks at us and all this stuff. I don't care. He goes, I'll quit this job. And the owner goes, no.
Yeah.
He's
the
like,
owner's
I mean,
probably
you
already.
You can't do things like that.
Yeah.
Well, you're dealing with tenants. If you're a tenant or a homeowner or a business, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. You know, you just got to watch your feet. You got to know business, and you got to understand people are out of, especially in this day and age, everybody's looking for work. Everybody's looking to do something. And they're not trying to cheat anybody right now because they know it's too hard to get away with it right now. You might think you can get away with it, but there's too many people out there with cameras and phones and whatever else. You're not going to get away with it.
Okay.
You know, you're going to get caught. Because everybody's got a camera, and everybody wants to be internet famous for 15 minutes, you know. So, yeah.
My new marketing scheme is I'm going to go buy up all the toilet paper in the world, and then I'm going to up the price and sell it out. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, first of all, I need to give you some help. So I need to buy up all the chocolate milk in the world so that they need that toilet paper. Maybe some Hershey bars on top of that. Buy them out.
Panic buying has got to be one of the dumbest damn things I have ever seen.
Well, you remember the first part of the pandemic, right? They bought all the toilet paper and the milk and the water, right? Well, this go around, nobody bought anything. They didn't buy any toilet paper. Oh, that's right, because they're still sitting on the toilet paper from the first round.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't need toilet paper.
A man can only shit so much.
Hey, listen. And if you got a house full of people, you know, here's a couple extra rolls, buddy.
Oh, I get it. And I'm not picking on anybody here, but you know, females, they use about 10 times more toilet paper than men do. So, just saying, if you live in a house full of women like I do,
toilet
paper, it comes and goes real fast.
Oh yeah. You're right.
Well, you know,
when
people panic buy, the nifty little thing about the retail business is that it's not just the stores, especially when you're dealing with a large, you know, you're dealing with your Targets, Walmarts, your big, as they call it, big box companies, okay? You know, Food Lion, Kroger, and all that kind of stuff.
Food Lion,
whatever
goes
on, yeah, whatever's coming in on the truck now was bought back in September, October of last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And because the operation is so big, it is not a weekly thing. So let's say you're in charge of the produce division. You're the buying department of produce division. Okay. So, you know, you're in March, and you actually have to be procuring July 4th watermelons. So even though you're not thinking about eating watermelon in February or March, these buyers have to be thinking about procuring the product.
They have to be one step ahead.
So, right. So when you go in there, and just like we did last week, had a snow scare, and I'm doing the air quotes around that. When you go in there and you buy panic state, okay, those guys 3 or 4 months ago had no idea that there was going to be a possibility of snow last Friday. So not only is the store going to be empty from everybody panic buying, but it's not going to be full again for weeks to come because the product was not secured. So
for that reason, right?
Correct. And the problem with panic buying is a lot of times people will panic buy stuff and it'll go bad. I mean, with your toiletries and that kind of stuff, toilet paper doesn't go bad, of course. I understand that.
No, but...
But when you... Like bananas. You know, I see people buying bananas, you know, 5 pounds at a time. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. If this snow lasts one day, which here, of course, coastal North Carolina, I've lived here since 82, and there's only twice that I can recall that snow lasted more than a day. If you eat 5 pounds of bananas in a day or two, you're going to be hospitalized.
You're
going to
need a whole pack of toilet paper. I'm telling you that now.
Yeah.
Call Tim.
Yeah, call him up. He's got all the TP. But, you know, you get home, you've got all this stuff that you bought, okay? You got nowhere to put it. So what does it do? It remains in bags and it sits in your kitchen.
Yep.
You know, it gets kicked around, dirt gets on it, the dogs get into it, blah, 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 blah. And you end up pitching 3/4 of it.
You missed it.
And in the meantime, the general, just because you can't get out of your house, and that's the thing about toilet paper, your poo rate, if you will not increase. No. Okay, so let's say you wipe hypothetically 10 times a day, whatever you're wiping.
Good Lord.
With that toilet paper. Okay, just whatever piece of your body
you
decide to wipe.
You got to probably go to the doctor if you do it that many times a day. But go ahead.
Well, I'm using 10 as a. But my point being,
I know I'm giving
is
you
just because it snows, you're not going to wipe 18 times a day while it's snowing. You catch my drift.
Yeah. We know what you're saying. But I'm just saying, you made me laugh because you better go
to
the doctor.
Yeah. So if you already have a week's worth of toilet paper in your house, unless that snow sticks around for an entire goddamn week, which it likely won't.
Yeah, you're not going to use it.
Right.
You don't need it. But if you go out there and panic buy it, and it has long-term effects because what happens is when you've got that closet full of toilet paper, okay, and going back to the buyers, okay, the buyers, you buy up a bunch of toilet paper for no reason out of a panic buy. So over the next 3 or 4 weeks, you don't buy any TP because you have a whole closet full of it, right? So what happens is all the TP that the buyers are buying to replenish is not selling now. Why? Because you aren't buying any. So the next month comes along and they go to procure more toilet paper for the stores. They look at the inventory on hand and they go, oh, shit, we've got this much, so we only need to buy this much because we have so much on inventory. And what happens?
Yeah.
You panic again. And that's how these things run short. That's how they never catch up.
Yep. But panic buying also drives prices up on other stuff.
Yep.
Because you panic bought all that toilet paper and water and whatever else that they panic bought on. So, the daggum detergent for your clothes. Panic buy that a lot during stuff like this.
Yeah.
Then what do? They sell it on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that drives the price up on your milk, your eggs, your other necessities. Like, you need regular groceries, you know? Okay, the snow lasted 2 days. And you were hunkered down with all this toilet paper and water and nothing else and bananas. And then, I got to feed my kids something other than bananas. The snow's over, so I need to go back to the store. Well, prices have changed.
Yeah.
Why'd the price change? You panic bought. They don't get that. Nobody gets that. Nobody understands that. Why did this go up by 15%? Well, let's see. You bought 80 packs of toilet paper.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And it's so damn elementary. You don't have to be in the business to understand this. You know what I mean? You just got to.
No.
And then what's even funnier is the other morning, and as you guys know, during the wintertime when season's off for my pressure washing business, I still work part-time in a produce department at a local grocery store. The other morning I had to open Sunday morning. And typical grocery story, I haven't opened on a Sunday morning in probably 5 years. And we had freezing rain come through, and I had to open on Sunday morning. Just how it works in the grocery business. Never fails. Nevertheless, I am getting in there. And don't get me wrong, the drive was not treacherous. It was a lot of water on the road. It wasn't totally frozen over, but your windshield wipers were stiff as a board, so it was hard to see because they had to get those things warmed up and everything, and the rain was coming down and blah blah blah. Nevertheless, get to work. And was it a white knuckle drive? No, but was it one where I was taking my time and being a little more attentive than what I usually am? Yes. Okay, so I get to work, you know, say a quick Hail Mary and appreciate the safe trip to work, and I walk inside, and I see a lady at the registers, and she's got like two little tubs of cat food. I want to say a candy bar and something else. And I'm going, okay, I'm not a religious man. I do believe in a higher power, but I'm not a practice. I don't go to church, and I don't, you know, slip a Gideon's Bible in my back pocket everywhere I go. And here I was thanking a higher source for my safe trip to work, just to come in and watch your dopey ass go through the same damn elements to pick up two cans of cat food, a Snickers bar, and some other random piece of shit. And I'm going, well, what's the matter with you people? What the hell is wrong with y'all? It's, I don't know. For me, it's, yeah, I saw something a little while back that said, I think what we ought to do is get rid of all the caution signs and let nature just take its course. You know, if you have to hang a wet paint sign, the fight is already over. Yeah, it's you get these people walking in here, oh, my God, it smells like paint. I don't feel like I can breathe. Oh, my God. So what's the first thing they do? They look at the wall. Okay, well, you've already acknowledged the presence of wet paint due to your theatrics about your breathing. And then you lean up against the wall. Or wet floors. When it's raining outside, why do these stores have to have 1,200 goddamn wet floor signs on the floor? Why?
Because they've been sued.
Yeah, but I mean, my point being is, it's going to be wet. There ought to be somewhere in these courts where the judge just stops and says, was it raining that day? It was. Case dismissed.
Nah, because that's not how that worked, bro. I've been to so many in court. I had to testify so many times and be like, oh, my God, really? So people, I mean, companies are scared of everything, especially the rain, snow, anything like that, because God forbid there's not that one wet floor sign in the correct place and somebody decides they're going to lay down and act like they fell down. You don't know unless there's a camera. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a lot of these people get smart and figure out where the cameras are. So I've dealt with that too.
Yeah, when I was doing loss prevention, some of the stuff I saw, I mean, it was – And if you think there's a lawyer out there that ain't going to cover it, you're wrong. There's always a lawyer out there that's going to take a rip at a half-assed case.
There's so many, many ambulance chasers.
Did you guys see the story? I saw it either on Google or something. Something popped up in this news break thing, you know, on my phone today or yesterday, something like that. This guy at a Cracker Barrel restaurant, he sued the Cracker Barrel restaurant and won like $9.4 million because the employee gave him some sort of chemical something to drink.
Yes,
sanitizer,
some kind of thing for the tables,
some kind of sanitizer, and he ended up burning his throat and his esophagus, and the guy got like $9.4 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that right there.
I ain't that lucky, bro. I'm not that lucky.
Yeah. I scratch my head on that because, I mean, not on the gentleman's behalf, because I could picture, because I've been in that situation where I'm waiting on a damn drink to show up, and as soon as it shows up, I take a good hearty pull off it, especially if I'm eating Mexican. So I get that. What I don't get is how in the hell – any type of the cleaning solutions got anywhere near the drink. I mean, how in the hell did he get – I don't know. Any place that I've ever worked at that had what I like to call live fire drinks, in other words, it isn't something like a Pepsi. You screw the cap off and you drink it. you know, where there's cups and it's coming out of a fountain or a water fountain or something like that, or a coffee urn.
Yeah.
How in the hell did that cleaning fluid get in his cup? I mean, I don't know. How big of a mistake can that?
You know what? I look at it like this, twofold. Yeah, how to get in the cup. You have a disgruntled employee that wanted to stick it to the company?
Yeah.
Did you have somebody goofing off, goofing around, and accidentally left it in a place it wasn't supposed to be, and somebody was making drinks and picked it up and served it? Was it served on purpose? I mean, there's so many things
right.
you can go with on this, you know, because it's just,
by
to me,
way,
it sounds more like a
insert
setup.
Announcement
but go ahead,
here.
Tim.
I'm
okay.
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but insert
no,
funny
good.
Announcement here. You know, one thing
sure.
I learned, and no, I never did it, so you can't ever pin anything on me, but a little bartender's trick. I was once told that if you put Visine in an alcoholic beverage, well, I don't know if it
oh,
has
yeah.
to be an alcoholic beverage. I think it
yep.
works best
nah.
if you got somebody who's already shit-faced. You put Visine in their drink, they're going to shit themselves that night.
It also
you can
out.
Actually...
It also cannot
you can actually
make a person black out.
Doing that shit.
Yep, yep.
You know, that's
I've
like
seen
the
people black out from
that. That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
You can actually
yep.
kill somebody by putting laxative in their chow. Yeah, that Visine thing, and you know, you see it on movies. If you put two or three drops in somebody's drink, that's enough to ruin their evening. In the movies and
oh, yeah.
the TV and everything, you see them just you know squirting the hell out of it. You know, like it's no end of the day. They put that much into somebody's drink, they're going to die.
Yeah, they could die. Yeah, the heart's going to stop. It's not a good thing. It's just not a good thing.
No. Nah. But now the new thing is these guys on TikTok keep putting all this stuff on there from, you know, McDonald's and all these places. Here's what we do behind the scenes. And my question is, how do these people maintain their jobs?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's a good
was,
question.
When I was working with a particular club, warehouse club, if you ended up on YouTube, matter of fact, a good close friend of mine who was a fellow manager, there were two guys that were pulling the grab ass videos, you know, where they go into stores and act like idiots and you know, they you know, put it on YouTube and yada, 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 yada. Well, they were in the club cutting a fool. And, of course, you know, this gentleman who's good and still a good friend of mine to this day, he had transferred. He was in Louisiana. And these guys were in there cutting an ass in the club. And he walked right up to them and said, "Hey, guys." And all he said was, "Guys, we can't have this here. Got to go, all right?" And the tone of his voice was just kind of more exasperated, more of like, "Guys, I really don't have time to dick with this today. Can you please just move on?" He wasn't combative. He was just almost a disappointed dad tone. You know, when you bring home the bad report card and instead of chewing your ass, you just get the, "Man, just go to your room." You know, he was kind of like that with it. And I will be damned, since it was a video made in the club, that guy had corporate officials in his store the next morning. And I mean,
wow.
just
oh, well.
Grilling left and right about things. And he wasn't even the guy posting the video. He just happened to show up in
well,
it. So
I
wonder
I got
how these...
Yeah.
I mean, how are these guys in McDonald's where they're showing the orange juice trick and what they do with fries and how they reheat nuggets and all this kind of stuff? How do these clowns keep their jobs? Is the job market
how
that bad?
Nobody gotten seriously, how come somebody hasn't gotten seriously sick and sued McDonald's?
Right. Exactly.
Well, I got something to tell you. Talk about losing, should have lost your job. Dude, you know how many times I should have lost my job at this one particular grocery store that I worked for 20 years? Dude, after I got married in 1993 and my twins were born, I moved back to overnight because I was tired of the daytime. And I was still in management, so I ran the show at night and ran the crew at night, you know, and all that. And I was always a cashier because they would always like to call out. So that was hard trying to do all that and watch, you know, catching people stealing and this and that. Every morning, me and my buddy, as soon as the shift was over and we walked the store with the manager, we clocked out, grabbed us a tall 24-ounce ice house and go sit in the car and drink right in the parking lot. No problem. Go probably do two rounds of that, and then we'd go home. Or sometimes we'd have a round in the parking lot and go to my house and still drink. So anyway, we would, on our days off, we would sit in the parking lot. We'd get there about midnight to watch the people going in and out of the store, figuring out who's going to steal, who's going to do what. And we'd call the person that was in the store, hey, you need to watch so-and-so. How do you know? We sitting in the parking lot. And we be drinking right there in the parking lot. And I had a van with a big swinging gate door, and we put a bench behind the back seat, and it was our patio. And we would sit out in the open container in the parking lot, right? In the parking lot. Watching people, and the cops knew us. They didn't bother us at all, and we did that for 10 years, easily 10 years. Went out one night with some of these kids that had graduated high school and were going to Carolina and Clemson. Well, they come home for, you know, break, spring break and all this stuff. Hey, man, come on, we're going to have a party. We got all these blah, blah, blah. Sure, we show up. I took a dude named Tom with me, and we used to call him Father Tom. So we went, we partied all night. 4 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call. I got to go home. I'm sick. My assistant manager, he was sickly anyway. He had every ailment in the world. I go right, and I always kept a shirt in my car, put a shirt on, went to the store, grabbed me a cup of coffee, told the crew that was working. I said, listen, I ain't helping you. I ain't doing nothing. You might want to get this shit done and get out of here before they get here in the morning. Because they knew I was obliterated, but they couldn't tell. I'd have coffee, and then the manager would come and go, what are you doing here? Yeah, never mind. We know he left, didn't he? Yeah, I had to come in. And I'd still have another cup of coffee and walk the store, and nobody ever knew. If they ever knew the stuff we did outside of the store, we never had a job for anybody.
You put me in the mind of the time that I was. We were rewarded because I worked in the restaurant too for several years. Probably, I think at least 11 years full time. But I was the back of the kitchen, and I was, I guess, unofficially the assistant manager. I was the only other grill cook besides the head cook, the manager guy. So we used to have. I think it's downtown. I'm sure most cities do this kind of thing, but they'd have what's called the bartender's ball. And all it really is, it sounds fancy, right? And people do, I think, tend to dress up, but really all it is a bunch of alcohol vendors. That's all it is. They're there, they're setting up, you know, it's a big convention center, and you got all these different companies that have a new alcohol or whatever. So, but the thing is, the alcohol's free. It's all samples. They're all given like shots and little cocktails.
Right.
But you can walk around. You got to have a ticket for it. But you walk around and just you can get shit faced because you basically drink as much as you want. So the owners of the restaurant, they give me and some of the kitchen crew, basically the entire male kitchen crew, they give us tickets and they're like, you know what, you guys worked your butts off this weekend, Saturday. Saturday is the bartender's ball. Why don't you guys, you know, just be responsible, get a hotel room. We'll even pay for it. Go down, have a blast.
Oh,
like, all right, we can do that. Now, keep in mind, Sunday is the next day. It happens to be the busiest day, the longest day at the restaurant, I should say. Our asses have to be there. Now, it doesn't seem like that early to me in my 40s, but when you're 22 years old, 10 o'clock or 9:30, 10 o'clock to report to work and all day, that's freaking early. So we go there,
yep,
this bartender's ball downtown, and we were just getting tore up. I ended up, I mean, obviously, I don't remember half the night. One of the dudes, and it was a bunch of Guatemalan kids that I worked with. One guy, his name was Hugo, and they're calling out, we're already just completely crocked. And they're giving off, like, raffle awards and stuff like that. And they're giving away these awesome prizes up on stage. And they call out this kid's name, and they say, Hugo, you know, something or other. Well, my buddy that I worked with, his name was Hugo. He knew damn well he didn't win any damn raffle prizes. Like, you think I should go up there? And I'm like, I don't care. Go for it. He goes up there, tries to claim the prize. They're like, oh, yeah, here you go. They give it to him. He comes down. About 20 minutes later, they all have to awkwardly walk up to him and go, sir, we think this belongs to somebody else. It was that. We ended up outside. We were walking around. It's a wonder I didn't get killed that night. We were out walking around downtown Indianapolis, just completely crocked, out in this big courtyard area. I don't even know where I was. We ended up, one dude passed out on the bathroom floor in his underwear. I don't even know how he got in that predicament, but he passed out. I lost my keys. The next day rolls around. I wake up, and it's already 9:30 in the morning, and I'm scrounging around trying to find my keys. Those owners were so damn pissed off at us. The entire kitchen crew was hungover, showing up late. It was a wonder that we got any kind of productivity done that next day, but that just put me in the mind of it, man. That was some good times right there. Good times.
But we never did anything crooked. It's one thing to do something grabastic like that, but it's another thing, because, you know, when you watch these TikTok videos, you know, the one with the orange juice, where they said they shake the shit out of the orange juice to get the bubbles up to make it look like your cup's full. Okay. And, you know, then there was another one talking about reheating chicken nuggets, where you take old chicken nuggets and instead of tossing them out after the 4 hour or 2 hour window or whatever it is, you throw it into the fryer and you just kind of recycle them. And
that's just nasty.
Yeah. You know, and when I see stuff like that, because I don't know if you guys, and I could tell you probably Velvet would be the only one to remember this, when Food Lion had that primetime thing hit back in 92.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? Okay.
Yes,
I remember watching that. And as I watched it, I'm going, I've never seen that. And I watched that thing, and I'm thinking, what kind of bullshit is this? Because I have never, and I never leave my building. I mean, I was working, you know, 18, 20-hour days then. And people say, 20 hours a day, that's bullshit. No, no, it wasn't. You would go home, sleep for about 2-3 hours, and get your tail right back in there. That's how it was.
Yes, sir.
Your leadership wasn't judged on your leadership ability. It was judged on how many hours you were willing to put in. And I watched that, and I'm thinking, I have never, ever seen anybody do this stuff. Where are they finding these people? And, you know, I recall there is a store here in Jacksonville that is less than a football field behind a landmark topless bar here in Jacksonville.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, that God, that had to be one of the hardest stores to manage, because every day you get off and you're walking to your car and you look up and you see the bright lights just probably about another 200 paces away, kind of like the old Hercules movies where the sailors are going near the island and the damn sirens are up there singing and they, you know, drive the boat right into the rocks. Same thing, where it's kind of like, you know, you're like, ah, man, you know, I'm just going to have a beer, look at some boobies, go to the house. I'll be in the right frame of mind, you know? Well,
stupid.
If you got caught in there wearing a shirt
with the
company
absolutely.
Logo embroidered on it, you were a dead man. I mean, you didn't want to have, and a lot of times it was the whole, you know, they were holding it against you just because they knew where you worked. You know, where the brass would come to you and go, well, everybody knows you manage that store right there because they all shop in there. Well, it's my own time. I'm not putting a black eye on the company because the people in that bar could care less what I do for a living.
Right.
Nevertheless, we were held to that kind of standard where if you wanted to go grab ass after work, you better bring a change of clothes. So when I see these people posting these things about what they do to cut corners in these restaurants and other establishments. I'm going, damn, how in the hell are these people holding on to their jobs? Because there are ones on there that are like, hey guys, let me show you trick of the week that McDonald's does. And every week they have some other corner cutting thing that they do working at McDonald's. And if I'm the goddamn guy holding stock in McDonald's, I'm looking at this going, get that asshole out of here. You see what I'm saying? Because
so,
it's
I want to tell you something else. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that even if I only own 10 shares of stock, I don't want it to be worth nothing. I don't want this guy posting these ridiculous videos and possibly causing some type of meltdown, you know. I don't know. It's just something else.
You remember back in that heyday of Food Lion, the owner, and he would do the commercials for the ACC basketball tournament?
Yeah, Tom Smith.
They were the big sponsor. All right.
Yep.
I got married in 1993, okay? I quit the job in Charleston because we were moving to Hendersonville, North Carolina. Okay? My wife got her first teaching job out of college in Hendersonville. So we go. I get up there. I worked for Ingles for like a month and had to quit. They were just out of their mind.
Yeah.
So I went to work at the Food Lion. And I'm at the one that, right as you come up 26, the first exit is Columbus Tryon. So I was in Tryon working at the Food Lion. And you want to talk about killing yourselves? We would go in at 10 o'clock in the morning and not leave until after the store closed because there was only three of us in this country town doing all the work. So we were there all day. Anyway, make a long story short, he came in. We met him, right? And we also met his whatever number wife she was, but she was in her 20s. Dumb as a box of rocks, okay? Well, no, this is funny. She kept coming back to that store for some reason, okay? She came all the time. Well, we noticed that every time she came, she was driving a Jaguar. Come to find out, they were all his classic Jaguars. When he was out of town, she would drive them around. She wrecked 7 of them.
Oh, God.
And after the 7th one, he threw her ass out. I don't care how good you look and how everything is in bed, but you got to go.
You're not going to tear up my collection. Yeah.
He also got in trouble. Remember, he also got in trouble. And Food Lion lost that ACC sponsorship. And he had to resign from the company.
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
Trouble
for something.
Yeah, well, part of it, too, was the whole Del Hayes thing. They had
the Del Hayes Corporation was so bad. That was so
bad. Yeah, and they kind of it's kind of like, let's say I build it. The way it kind of worked was, let's say I build a treehouse, right? And you come up to the treehouse and say, hey, can I play in your treehouse? And I say, you know what? I'm the president of this treehouse. I believe in a democracy and a vote. Come on up and play. So you're playing in the treehouse. I'm playing in the treehouse. I'm president of the treehouse, right? So then you ask me, hey, look, I know this guy named Tim, and I know this girl named Granny. They're friends of mine. Can they play in the treehouse too? And I say, yeah, you know what? I'm president of this treehouse. Sure. I don't see why not. Come on up. So then you walk up to me one day and go, hey, so you're president of the treehouse, huh? How'd you get to do that? I said, well, I took a vote. Well, who voted? Well, there's only one person in here is me, so I voted for myself. Oh, well, can we have another vote? Yeah, sure. And you say, okay, who's in favor of Dave being president of the treehouse? And I'm the only one raising my hand. And then you say, how many of you are in favor of Velvet being in charge of the warehouse, the treehouse? And Granny and Tim raise their hand, and so do you. All of a sudden, the treehouse that I made.
No, I mailed my vote in. I mailed mine in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I counted it twice. We counted it twice. It's all good.
Yeah. Somebody hauled a table and a couple suitcases worth of ballots up there and was counting the treehouse.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we counted the treehouse again.
Yeah.
I went to the cemetery and got my votes.
Too many of the Dale Hayes people got in there. And
they
basically flushed all the Food Lion guys, and it became holding company, of Dale Hayes. And now there's A-Hold is what it, I call it A-Hold, but A-Hold is now the parent company, and they've got their hands in up everybody's skirt. But, yeah, it's –
But they still haven't fixed Food Lion. I mean, come on. They've tried to remodel all of them. Okay, I'll give them that. But come on, you didn't really do anything. It's still the same crappy ass store. Some of them are good now. I take that back. The ones that we have are crappy. I've seen some that are like, wow, look at this. This is how Food Lion's supposed to be run. You know, and then because I asked I was in Charlotte and I said they had. Three customer services managers up front. They had 10 registers running. And if somebody had to go to the bathroom or they needed to go on break, that one of those managers stepped in and took over the register to keep it running.
Yeah.
I said, that don't happen where I live. And the lady looks at me and goes, where do you live? I said, I told her where I live. I said, that don't happen here. They don't care. I've watched people walk out of the line with two items in their hand because managers – don't run registers here in my town. And I'm like, you don't do what? They said, yeah, we don't run a register. I said, well, then you need to find somebody to come up here and get this registers going because people are walking out the door. They went, okay.
Yeah,
because they know they're
the
only store in town other than the Piggly Wiggly is 2 miles up the road that doesn't have it. Well, it's getting better now because I know the person who's running it, but other than that, but Food Lion should be this Food Lion up here by my house should be making $500,000 a week, and it's not. So
that's because they don't have the right people operating the damn thing. And
of course not.
If there's
but I couldn't do it. Yeah, go ahead.
I would suggest for that company, and yeah, granted, I'm still on their payroll right now, but. If there's two things I would tell them to do or suggest to do to stay competitive is, number one, you got to stop this every store is different thing. You can't have a cookie cutter thing because, you know, Walmart, Sam's are trying to do that cookie cutter thing, and the Sam's in Lumberton is totally different than the Sam's in Cary, and the Sam's in Cary is totally different than the Sam's in Jacksonville because it's different clientele. But when you have the staffing situation, and we've all been in it, where you have ineffective leadership. But instead of fixing the leadership issue, you continually send people in there to fix it. Because I can tell you right now, around where I live, there's got like 16 of the damn things within 20 miles of my house. There are stores I wouldn't step foot in. Now, the one that I'm working in right now, I would suggest working for anybody. I'd tell them, hey, if you're going to work for the company, come here and work at this one. But there are ones that I would tell them, don't work there because I know the leadership there is ineffective. That's one thing. And the other thing, probably most importantly, they really need to get a grip on quick, are wages. Historically speaking, they've always been tight on payroll. And, I mean – And that's what got them in trouble with the working off the clock thing, is that they had it so they had it so dialed down and so down tight that people who valued their jobs did it to keep the job. They did something that would get them fired to keep the job. And it's an oxymoron to say that, but unless you're in a situation you didn't understand it, because when they give you 20 hours to do 40 hours worth of labor, there's not one person in that damn place that doesn't know that it's not enough. It's not just an opinion going, man, they don't give us enough hours. You know, when they tell you, we're going to give you, and the same, we went through the same thing with a particular company with a giraffe for the logo. and
how
I've been doing it for almost 40. Yeah, I've been doing it for almost 40 years. So I'm pretty good at being able to look at something and say it's going to take X amount of time to do that.
Right.
Okay,
I'm
so
the same way. I'm just telling you.
I look at it and I say, okay, it's going to take 20 hours to do it, and you've given us 8 or 10 hours to do it,
yeah,
we already know
it's ridiculous.
True. Okay?
Yeah. Well,
so people who care.
First of all, you shouldn't work off of that. You shouldn't work off of sales per man hour. I've always been against sales per man hour. Because they fluctuate day to day. You're guessing. If you're doing a week's worth of sales per man hour, you're guessing. You're going off last year's sales. Well, that's last year. That's a whole year ago. It's not going to work the same. Here's another thing that I hate about what you're talking about. First of all, I can take this store. I wish I would have been able to get it, but I was too sick and I had all those surgeries and everything I went through. I applied to run that store. So, anyway, first of all, what is the first thing you see when you walk in the door? Who's the first person you see?
The greeter?
You see the registers. Yeah.
No, when you walk into a food line, what's the first thing that you see when you walk in, and who's there? Cashier.
Well, you got the front. Yeah, cashier. The front end cashier. People register, right?
Right. Who's the last person you see on the way out the door? Cashier. Now, with that said, if you
unless
get
you got
rid
the
of
guy
the,
racking up all the carts,
yeah, true.
Sorry,
well, I'm just saying if they're not friendly enough, and this is a small town, if they don't know everybody and or most everybody, that's a bad thing to me. Okay, they should know who pretty much everybody is in the town. Okay, number one, number two. But if you get rid of those friendly faces, people go, that other food line's 20 miles up the road. But Walmart's closer. Maybe I'll just go there. So you got to stop that. See, this is where, here's the other problem. You're getting rid of the butcher, which is the most stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life in grocery stores. Those are the money makers for your store, okay? A lot of butchers get paid more than store managers. Why?
Yeah.
Because they have a harder job than the manager, than any manager in any department in the store. Okay? To get rid of the butcher is just, to me, is just stupid. And just, we're going to prepackage everything. Okay, what happens if there's a huge outbreak at the plant and you have no butcher? Because you can call somebody and say, I need to get such and such. You need a cut? No, I got a butcher. Well, now I don't have a butcher. Now I'm out of meat because I have to wait company to fix their problem of salmonella or whatever, or cross-contamination or whatever happened, okay? Now, you should know this. Both of y'all, everybody should know this. When you have a bone saw and you got a saw and you're back there cutting, you can't use the same saw on pork. And on beef, you have to change saw. You have to change the blade. You have to clean the whole machine, change the blade. That's where your cross-contamination comes from when you have prepackaged meat. Okay, so now my company is out all of that. I don't have a butcher. You might have to lay some people off because of that, because it's so many folds in the tree that can mess you up. But as a customer, you want that. You want friendly people and friendly service and being able to ask somebody something in a store and not point I don't know there. Screw that. You know, because when I ran a store, I led by example. I'm the manager. I was a cashier. I wrapped meat. I crisped greens and produce. I led by example. I was dirty every day in a white shirt and a tie. And I had district managers come in and go, why are you doing all this? I said, first of all, shorthanded, who's responsible for the store? Well, you are. Yes, I am. So if I stayed in my office and didn't do nothing but all the paperwork you wanted me to do, none of this would have been done. You'd have walked in and go, how come we don't have any red meat in the counter? Well, I don't have a wrapper today because she decided to call out, so I don't have anybody wrapping meat. So I had to go back there for 2 hours and wrap meat.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't get it. But see, Food Line's not competing.
Now,
do you know who Food Line's competing with? Food Line's competing with itself. Bilo was gone.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no Bilo. Yeah. You're not competing with Whole Foods or Lowe's Foods. You're competing with yourself.
Yeah.
So fix your
problem. I'm pretty sure Food Line is what we got. There's either a spot. Sorry, I cut you off again. I can't remember.
You're
I
good.
Think Food Line might be the same place that's in when we go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I think it's a Food Line that we go to. And I'll tell you what, the prices, if I'm not mistaken, it actually seems kind of high because it was the only damn place you could go. And
it's
if it wasn't,
of
if
where
it wasn't
at,
Food
Line. Location.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Now I can see that. And,
you're in a
and
tourist
I think,
town.
You're right. And if, well, if, and if it's not there, there's also a Food Line. We go to a couple of different. We got a local place called Brown County in Indiana. It's basically it's Nashville, but the county is Brown County. And it's a wonderful little town. It's kind of like it's a unique, neat little town. You can get like vacation or rental cabins, everything. But anyway, there's the main store there in Nashville. I think that is also a Food Line. Might both of them be. I know at least one of them is. That name's real familiar. But yeah, I totally see your points. But that Gatlinburg, man, they jacked those prices up. But I do love those smaller stores.
Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything's about service. So go ahead.
Yeah. But they've got to come around on the wages, man. And not only do they have to come around on the wages as per how many people you can have in your building, but they also have to come around on the dollar rate per hour. Because let's face it, Walmart. Yeah, they've always been that way since the early 90s. Now, the late 80s, you can make some bucks. But right around 92, 93, right at that point in time.
I can't lie. I can't lie. The Food Line took care of me when I worked for them for a very short time. It may have been three to 5 years. But I've never made – ever since I started in grocery at, like, 18, I've never made minimum wage, and I've never lost money. Like, my first – like, I think minimum wage was $5.35, and I made $10 on my first job, and I never looked back from that. I've never made less than $20 an hour anywhere. And I've been on salary most everywhere. But I've never made less than $20 if I was hourly for anybody.
What the
because
hell?
They knew
you were working before I was, and I was only making $4.25 when I was busting tables way back. That was probably 94, I think.
I'm going to tell you something, bro. I turned 20 in 1987, and I already worked for McDonald's, TCBY, Food Lion, and Piggly Wiggly. And I put in 20 years at Piggly Wiggly. And I made all kind of money for them. I made good bonuses. But here's the thing. I had a work ethic. I grew up in a big family. I got five brothers and a sister, okay? I'm second to the youngest. My dad busted his hump his entire life. And he owned his own grocery store and lost his own grocery store. I think that broke my father when he lost his store. And then he ended up being in grocery the rest of his life, working for the man after that. And I think that kind of hurt him. But he worked. We worked. I'm going to tell you something. We were working family. But we were also knowledgeable. You know, I knew the ins and outs of running a business by then, and I was a kid. And by the time I got my first job, I wasn't smarty. I learned wherever I worked how things worked their way, because if you did it and if you didn't conform, because everybody had a different way. Like Publix is a union down in Florida. And I don't know, they got some other union stores in some other states, but not in South Carolina because it's a non-union state. But they still run their stores the same way they run their stores in Florida, like a union. They've gotten a little lax as of late here in South Carolina. They've kind of opened the concept across training people the right way. But when I went over there to spy on them, everything was different. Meat department was only meat department. The dairy department you basically didn't fraternize with anybody. That's your job. You stay over there.
Yeah.
So basically, I was like, holy crap. This is crazy crap. That was in the 90s. They've kind of loosened up a little bit, but like you couldn't, like me, I knew how to run registers and this and that. And when they found that out, they were like, don't tell anybody. But when the big managers aren't here and we get behind, can you come up and run a register? Oh yeah, I could do that. And I was doing that behind all the big dogs, you know, backs because they needed help. You know, somebody called out in the evening, I can run a register. But that's the whole thing. People today have no work ethic because they never went outside and played, never ate dirt, never got a whooping. You know, think about when we grew up. All of us, hang on. Think about what all of us grew up in a time we saw the creation of the computer, we saw the creation of the cell phone, we saw the creation
and you didn't have
of
a
all
computer
these things.
Unless you were a rich MF-er,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
and all of
yeah.
that. All, but I'm just saying, all of that. We watched all that growth. Now, everybody's got a freaking safe space. I'm shooting you first, son of a bitch. You get out. You know, if stuff hits the fan, and you got to run and go hide, I'm not protecting you, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Take your little laptop with you, and hopefully nobody will find you. Okay. Come on, man. I mean, everybody's kids, and I listen to y'all, have been taught the right way, and they've done everything they're supposed to do in life, and that's all you can do. That's all you can hope for, that they don't wake up one day and become a total dummy. You know, it's like, oh, no, we ain't having
yeah.
that. But I'm just saying.
But
you just
these
gotta,
companies, they've got to wash their asses, though. When it comes down to taking people with good work ethic, and part of the problem I see...
And ruining them. They ruin
correct.
Them.
Correct. Part of the problem I see now versus, say, back in the late 80s, early 90s, was, you know, like you were talking about cross-training. Back in the day, if you were cross-trained, that was value. That was
oh,
one
yeah.
of those ones where...
Hell yeah.
If
that's
you
what
could cut
me
meat
money.
And you could, yeah,
yeah,
you could run produce, or if you knew how to, you know, order grocery or whatever, it made
oh
you more valuable, and it made your ability to promote and gain
yep.
wealth easier. The problem is now with cross-training is the fact that
thank you.
You're over there working in produce, okay, and the meat guy goes home. Instead of going to find another meat guy to fill in for the one who had to go home, they just walk over to produce and say, hey, you know how to do meat department, right? Yeah, it's been a while, but yeah, I know how to do it. Okay, good. Can you cover meat department too? So
yeah,
what
I've seen that.
Is if you're cross-trained, you find yourself
in a pickle.
And we were running into that
yeah.
at the club.
Yeah. Oh,
people
yeah.
who knew how to run a register, you know, when there were floor partners, let's say they were cashiers that promoted, or not promoted, but they were cashiers that moved on to the floor. You know, they were zoning grocery or hard lines or folding
right.
the clothes or whatever. But they were former cashiers. So whenever they needed help up front, those people always had to leave their jobs behind to go up there and run a register. So, of course, their areas were always behind, which meant they had to work 10 times harder when they got off that register. So what happened was people started coming in and seeing these guys and going, well, shit, I'm not going to learn how to run a register. To hell with that. I see how he's running. And the same thing happened with forklifts. Back in the day when you got in there, one of the first things they taught you is how to drive a forklift. Well, then it got to a point where it was like, well, if I don't know how to drive a forklift, I'm never pulled away from my area of responsibility, and I don't have to go batshit when I get called away for an hour. And what it does, it takes somebody with a good work ethic. You know, how many times you go get punched in the face before you learn how to duck, right? So you take somebody in there who's got a good work ethic, but they take it in the shorts on a
steady
pace. Yep. And before you know it, these people start turning it into your status quo, ones that don't volunteer for nothing, ones that don't want to get out of their box. And, you know, that is the company's fault. Because you take somebody who's got the willingness to work and to do the right thing, but instead of rewarding it, you abuse it. And
I'm going to tell you something. Go ahead.
But, I mean, that's what I'm seeing more now than what I ever do.
Well, I tell you, worst company to work for today in grocery is the Harry Peter. Don't work for them.
Really?
That is the evil empire. Dude, let me tell you how bad they are.
I'm sorry. I'm stuck on
they
Harry
all
Peter.
Harry Peter. I'm sorry. Sorry, Velvet. Sorry, Velvet was talking. Anyway. So they take people like that, and they beat the bejesus out of them. And guess what?
Yeah.
When you're done and you walk out of there mad and you quit, they don't care. Okay? They're going to abuse somebody else. We already got our next new one. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
So here's how they also get you in grocery. Okay? Tell me how smart this is. Everybody's got their own system of ordering and control of this, of your grocery operation. Let's just talk about grocery only. All your dry goods. Okay? Middle of the store. Not frozen food, not produce, not anything else. Just grocery, okay? I inherited a grocery stock room that your back stock is supposed to go on these carts that are two levels that you can pull out to the aisle, work your back stock, and tell the manager, hey, come rescan this. I got too many, so I always carried a gun on me, okay? Scan it. What do you got? And I'd put it in the machine. He's got 24 on the shelf. He's got 8 right here. So he's got 32 cans of pork and beans. Don't need any more because it comes packed 24. So I put in there that I have already over the allotted amount, right? So I inherited 21 pallets of backstock of grocery when I came back after my second surgery from the original surgery, okay? Came back to work. They fired everybody while I was gone. So I'm like, okay, so here's how they get you. Here's the game they play. So during the day, the manager is going to walk down random aisles, scan random items, right? And he's going to say, oh, he'll zero it out, which means it's going to automatically order that same thing that I already put in there that said I had 32 cans of pork and beans. He's going to change the number, and it's going to order another case, which I don't need. And that's a game they play, and I'm like, nah. So I got the room cleaned up where I had one pallet of seltzer water and one pallet of water. No, everything was back to normal. Everything was right because I was doing it. So what I was doing was when they would screw with the machine, I'd go fix it. So they didn't like that. So they were trying to get me mad, right? I'm like, dude, you're efficient. There's nothing in the back room. We can work all the back stock, clean everything you need to clean, and be gone as you walk in the door, these guys are done. They're out of here. There's no overtime you got to worry about. Like we had been to fix this problem, everything's hunky-dory. They hated me because I was too good for them. Because I fixed the problem. They didn't want the problem fixed. Well, that's dumb because you couldn't get in the back room. All the vendors were complaining. They couldn't pull their stuff in because they couldn't get out of the bay. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. So I fixed the problem. So don't work for them because they will beat you like a – and if, God, if you're smart, oh, they're going to test you. But see, they knew I ran stores. They already knew I was a manager and a top dog before. And I'd sit there in meetings with my hand on my head, and they'd look at me and go, what's the problem? Nothing. Keep talking.
Yeah, it's all good.
You're telling
these
people.
Keep on.
You're telling these people BS. Then I'd have to pull my crew to the side and go, don't do any of that. Because if you do any of that, you're going to screw yourself. Don't do it.
Screw yourself with a hairy Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go screw yourself.
It's how they keep everybody dumbed down and corralled, you know. But, guys, we are at
it's just bad.
The extra inning mark. Imagine that.
Be all right. You'll be all right.
Yeah,
so
I was
going to
say, Dave, we successfully did the show, and we didn't hit either one of the topics that you and I brought to the table in the green room.
No, we didn't.
Not even close. Not even close, bro. Not even close.
Nowhere near it.
We got
nowhere
stuck
near
on
it.
Retail and other crap. But you know what?
Just,
here's the thing. This is what that's why I like this show. It's not the same ever. Ever.
Right.
No. No, it's always
something
different.
And that's what keeps the show going.
Answered.
But it keeps it going. You know?
I'll just scream
everybody
Bill Clinton,
put in.
So that way we're close to subject matter.
Oh, God. Oh. Oh, my God.
Yeah, tune
thanks
in,
a
folks,
lot.
For next week's episode.
Yeah, tune in.
When you figure out why I yelled.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Wait a minute. I just dipped my cigar. Yeah.
Even though she was 15 and on Jeffrey Epstein's island, I never did.
And I learned something from Joe Byron. Oh, Biden, excuse me. I learned how to sniff hair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
oh, my God. Stupid people.
But we are going to have to tackle, because I'm just curious to see that if we gave an earnest shot towards identifying the 8 John Does, how many we could actually get right. You know what I mean? Just out of shits and giggles.
You're talking about
see
people
how
that have been down there or people that are dead that's been down there? Which one?
The 8, there's apparently 8 names in Ghislaine
there's
Maxwell's
more than 8 names,
book.
But she's going to give up 8 names is what she said she's going to do. I
right.
tell you right
and,
now,
you know,
the... Go ahead.
But, you know, there are
first
names
one's Tom
in there
Hanks.
That are already out there, but they're people that I'm going to, yeah, I'll call them nobodies. I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but they're not, they're me and you.
Yeah.
But
Tom
there
Hanks
are
be
eight
the first
names
one.
On there that have been secured.
Did I say that out loud?
John Doe's. And the reason why they're being called John Doe is because they are very powerful people, apparently, and in the event that their names come to light for squeezing 15-year-old boobies and not being 16 when they're doing it, there's going to be a lot of fallout. So,
dude, come on.
Ghislaine.
For real?
She's convicted right now, and she's facing, what, 60
oh, yeah.
years?
And she,
so
and
for
she
her
don't care
to
at this point.
Up, yeah, for her to cough up these names and get a reduction is going to be no sweat off of her back. So,
no, because guess what? She's still going to do 40 years.
Yeah, yeah. But perhaps she'll do 40 years in a lesser facility. She's going to do whatever she can to ease the blow.
Well,
of
listen, if they don't hurry up and get them names, we might not ever get them because she might get Epstein.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently these 8 names are people who visited. It's one thing to visit the island.
No, multiple times.
But it's another thing, yeah, in this book, apparently,
too many times.
These are people that she was lining up for these quote-unquote massages and extracurricular activity with these underage ladies. And I got a feeling there's some very powerful, wealthy names on there. And that's the reason why there hasn't been, you know, that it's still under wraps, because there are people who know those
names.
They're
trying to keep her from doing it. There's people in play that don't want her to say nothing.
Right.
So.
And them revealing those names would be the same thing as somebody finding the Lost Ark of the Covenant. It'll have huge
implications.
Impact.
Like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy.
So,
you know what?
Yeah.
I can't wait. I hope she can do it soon, because you know what? If they don't do it soon, you might not ever hear from her again.
Right. Yeah, she'll just
I mean, think about
disappear.
That. Oh, I think she's going to disappear regardless.
Yeah.
I think she disappeared regardless.
They'll be transferring her to
disappear
another prison or something.
And that's what they'll get her.
Accident. Yeah. Yeah, something.
It's either that or she got lost in the exchange.
Yeah. Yeah, something odd will happen, but. Yeah,
hey, can I be a part of that? I got my mafia car up and running. I'll just scoot by, open the trunk, you throw in there, I'll take care of it. Pay me. Give me some money.
I think that you would have to beat Hillary Clinton to the punch.
I think her name's on there big time.
I do believe her name is on there. Just,
and Bill, don't forget
just
me.
A hunch. Yeah. And old Bill, you know,
I like
Hillary's
boobies.
Kind of
dried
up
boobies.
A little bit. Every now and then, I like them fresh melons. I know I shouldn't be doing it and all, but yeah.
You make me laugh.
I'm getting a Hummer in the Oval Office, and not much hate came of that. So I figured, why not?
Yeah, how many presidents have gotten laid in the White House not with their wife? Come on, man. Look at the Kennedys. Look at whoever else. Come on.
The only one that did is probably Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was just too...
Or Reagan.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think Reagan would do that.
Yeah, I was going to say Reagan.
Now,
I don't know.
My wife's ugly.
Yeah. Old Ronnie might have tossed Nancy up on the desk there once or twice. You never can tell, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you only got 4 years to do it, so you know you got to get it.
Oh,
got to get it while you can. But damn if I wouldn't.
No way. Listen,
I'd be out there
in
the rose garden picking thorns out of my ass, going, "Hey,
coming in and out of the White House. Hey, who's her? Who she work for?"
Yeah. Exactly. Picking a litter. So
you're the president. You always got to pick a litter. All right.
We will tackle this topic next week. And that'll give us a week to brush up, get a good list of names, and then we'll compile.
Hey, Granny. You still with us?
What? I'm still here.
Hey. Didn't you date Bill Clinton before, David?
No. That's an insult, Velvet. That is an insult.
She's going to go heel on me, y'all. Wait a minute. I got to wait for her.
No, I'm not going to go heel. I'm just saying that's an insult. Don't insult me like that, Velvet.
Old Bill be on the news. Yeah, that granny, I tell you what. She was all right. I bet she doesn't even remember.
At least I didn't say Bernie Sanders.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, at least he wore his mittens to bed.
Yeah. With his legs crossed.
Oh,
little
my
shit.
God, I'm sorry.
So, before
we
get
at,
further on the rabbit hole,
we get at Bernie Sanders.
Around.
Okay, go.
So, Velvet, I'm going to start off with you. What kind of
shots
do you
have? Why would you do that?
I don't know, man. It just felt right.
I don't know. That's a big mistake. We had a fiasco last 2 weeks on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Hopefully we've gotten all the bugs fixed, and apparently we have. We're on tonight, so that's good. I don't know. I got to rebook a guest, but Pro Wrestling Interviews every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Same number as this one. Everybody knows the number. If you don't, it'll be posted on Facebook, Instagram. It'll be posted where else? On ProWrestlingInterviews.com and BattlegroundChampionshipWrestling.com. So you can always catch us. And if you don't ever want to call in, all you got to do is go to ProWrestlingInterviews.com and it'll link you up so you can listen and, you know, not have to call in. You can listen to the show online. So that's cool. Other than that, you know, it's always fun coming on the show. It's never the same show. I love this show. I love you guys. Unfortunately, with the times we're in, we can't all hang out and get together, but it's going to happen. One day, we're all going to sit down and break bread.
You betcha.
Yeah, sooner or later, all come together.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as we can clear up the Megatron version of COVID and we can
start. No kidding.
Or which Autobot are we on
if it
now?
If it starts getting a little hanky, it's going to be the Velvet variant. It'll be great. Everybody be running around going, hey, how are you, girl?
Yeah.
Hey.
I don't even think there's variants anymore. I think there's just scientists out there trying to compare dicks with one another. And that's the whole other show.
If you haven't heard, the Italians are coming out with a paper saying do not take any more shots, do not take any more boosters. There's three more companies coming out with a vaccine to go with the ones we already got. There's no data. There's no research because it takes years to study and have guinea pigs to take this stuff in order to fix it. That's why the flu is a different strain every year, and you get a different strain in the shot every time you get one.
Yep.
Sorry, but it took, almost 40 years to get that vaccine for that.
Yep.
You can't make a vaccine in a year and go, it's going to work for everything. It is not. This thing's mutating faster than you can say.
Yeah.
So.
And it's just
got
to run its
course. You got one vaccine. Right, but you got one vaccine. It's mutated. The vaccine you already took ain't going to work on nothing.
Yep.
Because it's only for the first one. And if it's a test, and if this is a beta test, and they want to kill 50 million people off the earth, don't take nothing. Listen, I just got over COVID. I didn't get my booster. I wasn't getting a booster. If I hadn't had to take the first two, I wouldn't have. But because of my health situation, I didn't have a choice because they weren't going to do surgery if I didn't do it. So
I
had to do it.
I got a meme on my phone that's got a guy getting leeches put on him like they used to do in the 1700s.
Oh, yeah.
And then the doctor's standing over there going, he's not cured. Give him a booster leech.
Oh, God.
Before you know it, you got a dozen of the same thing sucking you dry, you know?
Hey, Dave, I caught COVID. I had 15 shots and 12 booster shots, and I still got it.
You still got it, yeah. In the meantime, there's a guy with no vaccination that just gets up and puts on his jeans every day and has never gotten it, you know, and if he did have it, he didn't realize it. Yeah. Yeah, so it's crock.
You know what? Listen, the whole thing is this. Be intelligent. Do your research.
Yeah.
Don't listen and read everything that you hear and see on TV and on the internet. Go look at some real facts. If you can't find them, I'm sure somebody at some point will post it somewhere with real facts. But wait for real facts. Don't jump the gun.
And just look around you.
Go ahead.
Look around you.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But
exactly.
Velvet, it was good to have you aboard this evening.
Yeah,
always
man.
Good to have you here. Good to hear your voice. Good
Thank
to hear you
sir.
In good spirits, brother.
So, yeah, man.
Granny, outside of one more birthday wish to our brother Anthony, what other kind of shout-outs do you have for this week?
Well, not really a whole lot this week, Dave. I mean, you know, it's just We're working on some things to try to help Anthony. We had a meeting, a Zoom meeting last Friday with some people, and we're going to be having another meeting this coming up Friday. But it looks like that they're looking the fact that maybe he needs to be like in a residential care facility, you know, to be taken care of, basically, you know, being that getting harder for him to take care of himself at home. So that's what we're working on right now. I mean, we thought about bringing like a home health person in, you know, to help him with things, but not, you know, a home health aide can't always do everything. And, you know, God forbid if something were to happen to me and my husband and he would have to try to do everything himself, he wouldn't have any kind of support. And what kind of support would that home health aide give him? What kind of help would they give him? So
right.
We're kind of looking at the fact that maybe we need to get this done, started now, as compared to a year, 2 years, 5 years down the line, because he is starting to mentally decline a little bit in some areas. And just for his safety and his well-being, we think that it might be better just to go this other direction. So that's what I've been working on the past week and a half or so. You know, that's what we're working on right now. But, you know, I mean, he knows that he needs the help, you know, so obviously, we all want what's best for him, obviously, keep him safe. And so that's what we're dealing with, you know. So just, you know, this COVID thing, you know, just be sensible, you know, have a little common sense. I mean, I talked to one of our promoters at one of our wrestling shows that I'm very much involved in, and they've made the decision because Arkansas's numbers are so high with COVID right now. The COVID cases are getting so high again. I mean, Fayetteville has started the mask mandate again. You go in Fayetteville, you're pretty much going to have to wear a mask everywhere you go. And, you know, so it's not going to end anytime soon. Just like I said, stay healthy, you know, have some common sense, keep yourself safe, you know, and I just hope that everybody has a good week. And I love you guys. I love hanging out with you guys. I know I always don't get to call in every week sometimes, but you guys are a bunch of fun people to hang around with. So,
boop, boop. Yeah, it's always good to have you aboard, Granny. And again, a big, 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 huge, monster-sized happy birthday to Anthony from all of us here at Pop Culture Stars. Hope that young man enjoys his celebration. And, parties his collective ass off because you know and he's a good young man and needs to keep right on getting it and not let anything get him down.
Right.
So yeah, keep getting it, Anthony. You the man. Well done. Happy birthday. But Granny, it was definitely good to have you aboard this evening, ma'am. Appreciate
you
joining
so much.
Us. And Tim, what kind of wrap up do you have?
Well, definitely echo on the happy birthday to Anthony. and like everyone said, party down like it's 1999. But no, that's basically about all I got. I got a boring checkout this time around. Don't really have anything to plug. I already gave my horror stories about the house and the update on the site and the meteorology.
Don't lie,
report,
honey.
So.
Don't lie. Velvet's coming one day.
Yeah, that's right. Just sitting here waiting patiently for Velvet and his white van without the windows to roll up.
That's
passing
right.
Out free candy. Other than that, it's just another week of winter and looking forward to springtime and Velvet rolling by. That's all I got.
Ooh. Hey, Tim.
Take
your shirt off.
Definitely good to have you aboard tonight, brother.
Hey,
I appreciate you joining us and everything. You and Herbert. So, yes. Well done. Well, my parting shots
just
are pretty simple. For one thing, have you noticed we're missing our good brother Todd this evening as work continues to grind on his his soul and everything, as the job will do to a person from time to time. And
he'll wish him nothing but the best. He'll get there.
Yeah, he'll get there. Keep the head screwed on straight and just keep getting it. Rough seas, and, you know, eventually the seas will calm. So, missing you, Todd. And on the other thing, just to kind of echo what everybody else was saying, I just, again, caution everybody, look around you and look at things on how they are. Look at your panic buying. Look at your price of gas. Look at the price of a loaf of bread. Look at your ability to work, your ability not to work, your ability to
survive,
continue living the American way, which is the pursuit of happiness. And just remember that when it comes down to your leadership and when it comes down to your decisions that you make as an adult, that you have to make up your own mind. Don't let other people tell you what you're thinking. Do your research.
You made me hang on, man. Stop. You made me laugh. Yeah. That line was funny. That sounded like Tyrone Biggum's Dave Chappelle. Tyrone Biggum's. Clayton Bigsby. Don't tell anybody how to act or feel.
You know, and that's just it. It's common sense. Think things through and do your own thinking. And when it comes down to your leadership, sometimes the best thing is something you don't like. Okay? Nobody liked chemo, but it's going to keep you alive. Okay?
But yes, absolutely.
There are a lot of things that I don't like.
Oh, I don't like.
But I have to have them.
Guess what?
To maintain. Yeah. So when it comes down to your leadership, it isn't about liking them. It's about how things get ran. So
not only that, they got to quit playing the race baiting card. And we are supposed to be only looking out for the human race. Don't worry about everything else. It's the human race. Doesn't matter if you're Hispanic, Jewish, Islamic, black, green, purple, red, doesn't matter. The human race. We got to stop all this other crap.
Well, there is one separation. There is one separation in American society, in my eyes, and it's those who do versus those who don't.
Well, yeah, of course. Okay. That's a gimme.
The people who live responsibly, I always have their back. Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
If you don't live responsibly, you could call me every name in the book, but it's not going to change the fact that I'm not going to help you because you haven't helped yourself. And perhaps if you stack up all the complaints you've had about the former leadership and put it up against the situation we're in right now,
you would find compare. Pales in comparison.
It wasn't that bad. So come this November, keep that in mind. Because if you don't, you're potentially looking at $5 a gallon gas, $7, $8 gallon gas, if you can find it. So, again, make up your own mind. This is not a popularity contest. This is not American Idol. This is leadership. This is how the world operates.
Yep.
And
if we don't have a leader, we're going to be in trouble.
Exactly. And that's the problem we have right now. And the rest of the world sees it. So with all being said, I'm going to enter into At-Will Manor.
Damn.
I'm going to cue in the crusty British lady.
Velvet.
Yes,
and then I'm going to take these three hounds outside, and I'm hitting a rack.
I found heaven to me.
I trip over all the dog toys getting to the laptop.
Hit that little squeaky.
that game. Before we go further down.
Holy crap.
Hope everybody has a wonderful week. Be careful out there.
Yeah, man. Everybody be good this week.
Pop culture stars.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And British ladies.